Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. We are coming up on the halfway point of 2020. And I think if we started this year, we couldn't have scripted anything more tumultuous, more volatile, more science fiction than what happened this year. But picture this. Picture you're off. You go off on a silent retreat in the beginning of March. You're totally in a remote area, and you emerge the first week of June. And the first thing you tweet is, did I miss anything? That is the story of Daniel Thorsen, who was a Buddhist monk who was in a retreat up in northern Vermont that he self-imposed, and he emerged the first week of June. And that was his first walker, right? So that is an amazing story of, wow, it's Rip Van Winkle, like modern day. Did anything happen? And everything changed. The whole world changed. So we've got a lot to cover this morning. And we're going to cover some of what's going on in the economy, kind of a recap of the first half of the year. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the financial sector, particularly as it relates to changes in regulatory oversight of the banks and the bank stress test results and some of the earnings stuff. So just a lot to cover here. So let me just dig deep and provide, again, a context for where we're at. And remember, this is two big experiments. We don't have a playbook for this. The first experiment is this aggressive monetary policy that's being used really to prop up financial assets. And the second experiment is how to navigate a global pandemic with the coronavirus. So the result is we shut the economy down. We're slowly trying to reopen it. It is not coordinated. In some cases, on the worst day, it appears we do not have a plan. And so we are basically operating one of the largest parts of the sector, the service sector, at under 50% capacity. That's restaurants, services, sporting events, and entertainment is still shut down, but we're limping along. The result is unemployment spiked from a low of, 3.3% in February all the way up to 13.3% in May of this year. Really, it was historic, the sharpest increase in unemployment since World War II. And then we're seeing a big shift, as you'd expect, with the shutdown of the economy. You'd expect to see more bankruptcies and restructurings. So we're up 45% year over year in May in bankruptcy filings, according to the American Bankruptcy Institute. And recently, we've seen Neiman Marcus, J. Crew, Hertz file bankruptcy protection, and there's more coming. So that's just devastating as it relates to the economy. But as we navigate this, we want to separate the economy from the financial system and then the capital markets. If we mush it all together, I think we're going to confuse issues, and then decisions are going to be more clouded, not as if they're cleared right now anyway. So one of our themes is hope is not a strategy. So hoping that this thing goes away, hoping that we've got some solution, hoping that a vaccine comes is it's not really a strategy. I think our base case now is that second half of the year, this is not a V-shaped economic recovery. This is going to be a slow recovery. And in the context of that, when we look at valuations in the equity market particularly, we've got very extended valuations, largely supported by aggressive monetary policy. So with that, what we had is we had a shift this last week. We had a couple things come out. We had bank stress tests, and Adam, you were tracking that for us. So what's the stress test that the banks go through, and what was the impact from this?
So the impact was broadly that a lot of banks are going to have to either cut their dividend, cap their dividend, and buybacks are on halt pretty much across the board. The worst in the stress tests were Wells Fargo, who at a capital level was fine, but on a income level and revenue, the declines they saw from wealth management really hurt them. So their ratios were hurt. Goldman Sachs was the reverse. Their income was fine, but their capital levels fell, which put them at risk of having to cut their dividend. It's very, very likely. I think there's actually a case for Wells Fargo cutting their dividend today is some of the news I've heard. But overall, it looks like financials are just going to continue to have to suppress, you know, whatever financial alchemy they have.
So the stress test was put in place following the financial crisis in 2008 as a way really for banks to under scenario analysis, make sure that they had sufficient capital and reserves to weather a storm. And I think it's interesting. We talked about this earlier this year. They're actually living through a worst case stress test with this pandemic. And I think the Fed has come out and said, hey, we think that the capital is sufficient to weather the worst case scenario for the pandemic. At the same time, though, they also rolled back part of the Volcker rule. So the Volcker rule was also put in place following 2008. So Charlie, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So last week, the FDIC announced that they'd be rolling back some of the stipulations in the Volcker rule. And the Volcker rule at a really high level was put in place to get banks to stop acting like hedge funds and take less risk. So two of the bigger rules that they've walked back on are reducing how strictly they're enforcing it. Is first that they are going to allow banks to move cash along for derivative investing between different affiliated firms. And the second one, which is perhaps more important, is they're going to walk back some of the restrictions on having banks invest in venture capital, which that's the part that kind of, there's an argument to be made on both sides here. That's the part where it kind of goes against where the Volcker rule is trying to get banks to take risk off. And this is to allow them to put more money into the market.
Doesn't allow them to invest in their own CLOs now, too.
That I had not read, but there is a thing with the CLO rules, and it's part of the Volcker rule where they have to take a share of their own equity that they have together. So that would be a risk-off kind of measure because these banks would be more invested in how the CLO actually performs.
I think it allows for them to increase their investments in CLOs, and it's ironic because it's at a time when leveraged loans are not performing well. And when you get financial distress, to roll back this rule that was designed to protect us in times like this is just kind of, it goes along with the first half of the year. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So the idea of rolling back these terms was to increase liquidity into financial markets. We'll see how that turns out.
Okay. And so what does this all mean for the financial sector? Freddie, how are you looking at the financial sector?
Well, it's one of the worst performing sectors year to date, other than energy. So it's down 27%. But moving forward, I just like everything else that's been damaged, if you're working under the assumption that we're going to have continued lockdowns, I would stay away from everything that's already been hurt. So that includes financials, energy, airlines, cruise lines.
So what worked this year? Let's segue into what's worked and what hasn't worked so far this year. What does that mean for the second half of the year?
So the big thing that has worked is obviously technology. It's up 11% year to date. The other sector that has worked is consumer discretionary. It's up 3.4%. But that number is actually a bit misleading. Amazon makes about 25% of that market, and it's up 45% year to date. And then in addition, Home Depot makes up another 12% of that sector. And Home Depot is up 10% year to date. So that number is a little bit skewed. Growth in general has outperformed value. It's up 4% year to date. Value's down 19% year to date.
Just a little up.
And then both small caps and mid caps continue to underperform large caps. Mid caps down 17%, small caps are down 23%.
Okay. How about the bond side, Adam? What's worked, what hasn't?
Yeah, so I know it hit pretty hard that obviously treasuries were the one asset class to be in this year, long bonds up over 20% year to date. But even on the short end, if you were in ticker SHY, the 3-year and in treasury, you're up 3%. Tips up 6%. So anything kind of government related, you did pretty well. But honestly, even in credit, we've rebounded. So credit's outperforming stocks right now. The iShares investment grade corporate bond ETF is up 6% year to date. So that's all credit. Now that did come with a 10% drawdown back in March. So there was volatility, unlike some of the treasury securities. And then munis at work. So if you look at ticker MUB, the municipal bond ETF, it's up 2% year to date. But I'd argue that that performance is largely just driven by rates being down. I mean, it probably seems like so long ago, but coming into the year, the 10-year was above 180, and now we're below 70. So we're down 100 basis points across the curve. So that's really what's driving a lot of the returns across fixed income. But credit quality did matter. So far this year, double A's have actually outperformed triple B's by 300 basis points. So that's a pretty big difference. And then you hit on CLOs. I mean, CLOs, it depends on what tranche you're looking at. You're down between 5 and 10%. If you just use the ticker BKLN, which is the levered loan index, that's down 6% year to date. So as it's just kind of a metric around CLOs. And then when you, we'll talk about on high yield, but when you look at high yield, triple C's are down, what, over 12%?
Correct.
Year to date versus double B's or?
Double B's are actually positive on the year. Hardly, but positive.
But it's just a true sign that credit quality has mattered. And I think you would agree that it's going to continue to matter. So across our portfolios, we keep moving up in quality, kind of building defense. So when things dislocate again, we're able to move.
Yeah, and that's the fear for the second half of the year. So one of the things that happened that's been a growing issue, especially related to the social unrest. Freddie, you talked about technology, is Facebook's loss of advertising revenue last week. So the stock was down, 8%, and it looks like it's going to have a hard open this morning.
Yeah.
So when the First Amendment came out, when was that? Sometime in the 1700s. It's been a while since I went through that high school history class. But the First Amendment basically protects religious freedoms and freedom of speech, right? But in that period of time, I think we just stood in the town square and yelled. The internet, we weren't really contemplating the internet and the sophistication of this form of communication. So we talk about how we have a shifting in our form of democracy, and that's resulting in the shift of our form of capitalism. And I believe we are living that out. And another example of that would be this, how we deal with this hate speak on social media and how these technology platforms now deal with it, because it's just so much more sophisticated form of communication than yelling from the town square. Hamilton. So speaking of yelling in the town square, I think Hamilton comes out July 3rd.
Okay.
For Disney. All right. Lightning round. One movie that you're going to watch this summer. Ready?
There's a movie coming out called Tenet.
That's my pick as well.
Yeah.
What's it about?
That's the thing. Based on the trailers.
It doesn't really matter. It's a Christopher Nolan movie. He's the guy who did the Batman movies.
Oh.
So it would be Dark.
Inception.
Yeah.
Psychological.
Yeah.
Type.
Batman scares me. How about you?
Gosh, this is a not well placed lightning round.
Murph?
Yes, the Trolls. Trolls 2.
Trolls 2, oh God. All right, one stock to buy the second half of the year. Mine is Match.com. Freddie?
It would probably be PayPal or Adobe for me.
Wow. Adam?
PayPal as well.
Same movie, same stock. Charlie?
I actually also really like Adobe.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. All right, what else do we need to cover for the good of the cause? Adam, you got anything?
I got nothing.
Oh, man, you guys, it's going to be a short week. So markets are closed on Friday for the holiday. And so if you guys have any questions during the week, just give us a call. Thanks. Have a good week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.